Good morning. Today's Daf and Baba Kamas Kuf Yud Aleph. We are concluding the ninth and penultimate chapter of the Masechta, and obviously with that we're going to begin, God willing, this morning the final perek. We are in the middle of discussing Gezel Hager. Gezel Hager is stealing from a ger. Okay, commented twice already. This will be my third time about how heinous a crime it is that somebody converted and you felt that perfect. What a perfect victim, somebody who just came into the fold and joined the membership. And you decide that that's going to be your victim, okay. But nevertheless, the Torah says, why does the Torah treat this any differently? The Torah does not treat this any differently. It's no different from stealing from anybody. But the reason why this one gets special treatment is because, generally speaking, the halach is that when you steal from somebody, so the mitzvah is very simple now, and that is the heishev hazegzeila. You have to return it to him. What if he's no longer alive? So you return it to his children. In other words, there is an opportunity to return. However, when it comes to the ger, so he converted, he didn't get married, or even if he did, and he has no children, so then he doesn't have family. There's no next of kin, and there's nobody to return it to. So everyone's got a goel, everyone's got a redeemer, everyone's got family members except for the ger. The ger doesn't have one. And so therefore, when the ger dies, and now there's nobody to return it to, so what do you do? So the Torah dedicates a parsha, a small parsha in the Torah, tucked away in Parshas Naso, that describes what to do under those circumstances. So, in Gezel HaGer, so when you steal from the ger, and again, there was a claim made by the ger that you stole. There was a denial. There was a shvua. And now afterwards, you're a moda. You admit it. So under those circumstances, so now what you have to do is the normal. Then when I say normal, I mean what we learned back, we spent so much time here in the ninth parak discussing what is in the Torah at the end of Parshas Vayikra. And that is that you're going to be paying Karen Chomesh Vasham, Karen principal value Chomesh, 25% surcharge, and Asham, you have to bring a carbon Asham. Okay, it's called an Asham Gzelos. So over here, similarly, it's going to be Karen Chomesh Vasham. Okay, but Karen, you're in Chomesh, so who are you going to pay? So he's no longer alive if he dies, and he has no children, so who do you pay? So you pay the Kohanim. Yeah, good. So that is, so far, a simple pshat in the Torah. Nothing right now beyond Torah Shebichzav. Now we get to Torah Shebaal Peh. So Torah Shebaal Peh, so yesterday the Gemara was asking, probing and analysis and analyzing questions, as it always does. So we're going to be starting this morning. I did this some of this yesterday, but it's a good place to start. We're going to start from Bai Rava. So Bai Rava can be found on Kuf Yud Amud Beis, and we're going to be starting at the two dots. I did some of this yesterday, but it's fine. Bai Rava Kohanim BeGezel Agir Yorshim Havo O Mekablei Matanos Havo. So this is classic analysis of the Gemara, and that is that now the Kohanim are the recipient of this money. And again, we already discussed this yesterday, established yesterday. Which Kohanim are we talking about? The Kohanim that are operating at that particular Mishmar. Okay, we went over yesterday, right? Please go back to yesterday, review yesterday. We went over the system of how Kohanim operate and work in the Beis HaMikdash, 24 Mishmaros, 1 week at a time. We went over the system yesterday. Good. So whoever happens to be operating that Mishmar in that week, as you're going to the Beis HaMikdash, so you're going to be giving it to that Kohen. Which, by the way, just if I can, just the idea I think is extraordinarily simple. Meaning, when it comes to other Manos Kohuna, so you don't go to the Mishmar. In other words, what you do is, you find a Kohen, you give it to the Kohen. Right, the end of Chulin, we have all those Matnos Kohuna discussed in detail. The Reishis Agez and the Zerola Chai V'keva, and et cetera, et cetera. So what do? You find a Kohen, you give it to the Kohen. And over here, you're going to the Beis HaMikdash and you're giving it to the Anshei HaMishmar. Why would you do that over here? But I think the answer is really simple. Because this Karen is part of your Kapara. And the Gemara is going to talk like this. I'm not innovating. I'm not saying anything original. It's a Kapara. And as a Kapara, so basically, it's a quasi-carbon. The money that you're giving. Now, it's not really a carbon, by the way. The Kohen can do whatever he wants with the money. But nevertheless, though, it's like a carbon. It has a carbon flavor to it, a carbon smell to it, if you will. So in other words, so that's why, even though it's obviously not a carbon, but it's coming together in conjunction with a carbon, you're bringing carbon Asham with the Karen, and so therefore, it's going to go to the Anshei HaMishmar. Okay.
Does Pidgin
Ben
have similar
carbon? No. Pidgin Ben is simply, it's financial. It's a financial transaction. Now, you are, with that money, redeeming your son. Okay, good. I hear that. In other words, it is in place of the Kedusha, so I do hear that. But in other words, but you're not giving it to the Anshei Mishmar. In other words, whichever coin you choose. Good. So over here now, so the Gemara's question, simple analysis, and that is that when the Kohanim become the recipients of that money, are they receiving it categorically like a gift, or are they receiving it categorically like a Yerusha? Now, Yerusha, by the way, I didn't make this point yesterday, but that's fine. So it's a new day. Can make a new point. Mm-hmm. Yerusha, and that what does that mean, Yerusha? In other words, they're inheriting it from whom? So, in other words, in this analysis, I mean, the Gemara is going to favor one side, clearly, but in this analysis, the Yerusha meaning that they basically become the de facto family of the Ger. In other words, the Ger doesn't have family. Okay, good. So now what we're going to do to the Ger is we're going to say, hey, say hello to your new family. In other words, you're now, the Kohanim are going to be part and parcel of your family. Obviously, you know, don't take what I'm saying too far. I mean, in other words, it's...
Can't call them up.
Correct. But in other words, but Yerusha basically is the idea that they now serve in lieu of the family members of the Ger. Okay. So, so Lamai Nafkamina. Good. So the Gemara is going to discuss. So the Gemara says now, practically speaking, what difference does it make whether they're receiving it as a Matan or as a Yerusha? So Lamai Nafkamina, Kigon, Shigazo Chameitz, Vavalava Pesach. So now the example, the Nafkamina would be the following. Let's say what you stole from the Ger was a single malt, right before Pesach. Chameitz Gamur. And now what happens is that Pesach comes and goes, and after Pesach, now it's Aser Be'achila, or Shtia, and Aser Be'hana. Now, you are going to go return it. Now the Ger is no longer alive. So you give it back to the Kohanim. So what are you giving to the Kohanim? Something of zero value. So the Gemara now points out, Iyamart Yarshim Havu Hainu Haidi Yarshis Maris. So now, if they are Yorshim, so you say to them, here's your Yerusha. Okay, right now, currently, it has no value, but you know what? Yerusha is, whatever it is, that's what you inherit. In other words, whatever is part and parcel of your estate, this is of great value. Meanwhile, you look up on eBay and you see it's not of great value. Okay, but that's Yerusha. That's how Yerusha works. Correct. If, however, this falls under the category of matana, matana is a gift by definition has to be of value. You, in other words, there's no point in giving a gift that it has zero value. Okay. So in other words, so if this is coming to them via matana, it has to have value. The chamish avar of a Pesach has zero value, and so therefore it's not a matana. And therefore, what you're going to have to do is that you're going to have to go back to the original value of what the single malt was and pay the Kohanim. Okay. So this is the analysis, and that's the Nafkamina, and it's beautiful. And Rav Ziri by Ahachi. And Rav Ziri says, now, I don't want to frame the discussion that way. I'm going to frame it differently. I think this is where we got to yesterday. Let's go. Avilam timsa lomar makabe matanu havu. Halo ibaylan. Da'i matana marachmana denesav luhu. So the, now... He says, look, I think it's a matana, and I still don't think that you framed it correctly. Meaning, when they say you, meaning he's going back to Rava. I don't think you framed it correctly. So the, even if it's a matana, in other words, what are you doing? You're giving to the Kohen. Okay, the gift doesn't have any value, but still, you're gifting. Okay, call it a matana. Rav Ze'era says, I think the question should be framed like this. Elakikam ibaylan kigon shenafel lo aster behemos. So, I think the question goes like this: he is going to go back to the is it Yerusha, is it Matana? But he believes that the real Nafkamina comes out in the following scenario: What did the guy steal from the Ger? He stole 10 animals. Okay, Ger dies. He now is taking the 10 animals and handing it to the Anshei HaMishmar. Now, I have to admit, by the way, in my head, it's a little bit complicated because the Anshei Mishmar is not one person. It's a whole bunch of people. It's going to be divided amongst them. Okay. What I'm going to do is my comment, just ignore it. Because I'll deal with the question conceptually, and then practically it may not be as smooth as I'm presenting it. It doesn't matter. But the point is like this. 10 animals. Now, normally what happens when you have 10 animals in your flock, so annually what you have to do is you have to take off Maisa Behema. One animal is now going to have Kedusha, and it's going to be a carbon, and it's going to be brought to the base of Mikdash. Good. See the end of Becharos for more details on Meiser Behema. Good. So now, when you are gifted animals, do you have to take off Meiser Behema on gifted animals? The halach is actually very clear. No, you don't. You don't have to take off Meiser Behema on gifted animals, only on animals that are born in your flock. So now, Yerushim Avadam Amar Kadam B'Tfisus Abayis Chayavin Odilma Mekabel Matanus Avu Tanan Alokeach Ve'anitan Lo B'Matanu Potter Meister Behem Amai. Good. Beautiful. So this is going to be now our nafkamina. Our nafkamina is going to be, again, he is saddling the question on whether it's Yerusha or whether it's Matana. He didn't like the nafkamina provided by Rava, because he believes that if it's a gift, even if it has zero value, it qualifies as a gift. What he believes the question really boils down to is, 10 animals, you have to take off my Sabahima. If it's Yerusha, yes you do. Because Yerusha means is that it is yours. You weren't gifted it. In other words, it's part and parcel of your estate. And therefore, you have to take off Maaser Behema. On the other hand, if it's Matana, then it clearly is a gift. A gift does not require, there's no requirement to take off Maaser Behema. Tashma, good. Now that we've asked a question, so we've asked it in two different formulas or two different formats, but effectively we've asked the question of how to look at Gezel Hager now going to the Kohen. Is it Yerusha or is it Matana? Good. Gemara is going to have a really clear answer, Tashma. So over here, what we're going to learn together is a Mishnah. Clarify, edit, it's a Tosefta. It's a Tosefta in Chala, Esrim V'arba, Matanus Kohanim Nitnu La'aron Levana, V'kula Nitnu, B'klalo Prado Klal, U'bris Melech, Kola Mekayman, Kila Mekayman, B'klalo Prado Klal, U'bris Melech, V'kola Over Aleihem, Kila Over Al, Kola Prado Klal, U'bris Melech. 24 different gifts that are going to go to the Kohen. As a Kohen, you have awesome responsibility and you also have benefits. And what are the benefits of the Kohen? So there are 24 different types of gifts that are going to go to the Kohen. The language of this Tosefta definitely requires much more explanation. In other words, they're given with what's called klal uprado klal. Okay, see Rashi over here. I'm going to skip this point. Please forgive me. It's also given with bris melach. In other words, it's a lasting covenant. Right? Anything with salt is lasting. Salt is a preservative. It's a lasting covenant. Good. The point is that we're now going to go through the 24 matnos kahuna of the Tosefta. Now, if time weren't a factor, I would explain each one of them. However, the Gemara is going to make one singular point over here. It's very simple, and that is that one of the 24 is Gezel Hager. So, in other words, and the point is that once we've identified Gezel Hager as one of the 24, so now we know it's a matana because these are 24 matanas that go to the Kohen. So now I'm running through it, and I apologize, but that's what I'm going to do. So at least, by the way, a takeaway point from the Gemara over here, despite the fact that I'm going to go through it really quickly, is that organizationally, the first of all, we're given a number 24, and we're also going to organize it and break it up into Ve'elohein, Esar B'Mikdash, Arba B'Yushalayim, Esar B'Gvulin. So ten of them are applicable in the Beis HaMikdash, meaning eaten in the area of the Mikdash, four of them in Yerushalayim, and 10 of them outside of Yerushalayim. And they are Esar Shebe Mikdashain, and again, I'm just reading, I'm not going to translate, please forgive me, but there is a daf that we want to do. So Chatos Mehem, Chatos Ha'of, Asham Vade, Asham Talu, Vizivke Shamit Sibor, Velog Shem Shamit Sora, Umosar Ha'omer She'alechem, Lechem Apanim, Vishayari Menachos. Okay, good. That was 10 in the Beis HaMikdash. V'arba b'Yushalayim, ha-bechora, ha-bikura, ha-mura min ha-toda, v'el-nazir, v'oros kachim. Okay. 4 in Yerushalayim. And then finally, 10 in the Gvulin. Truma's meiser. Chal reishas agez matanos. Pijan ben pijan petuch hamor. Stei achuza, stei charamim. And Gezel Hager. Okay. Now, obviously, what we're zooming in on is Gezel Hager, identified as one of the 10 maskuna that are given to the Kohen outside of Yerushalayim. Okay, the kakari mias matana. So in this Tosefta, clearly it's a matana. So shmamina mekabel matana sav shmamina. Okay, good. So point made, point taken, and that is that Gezel Hager falls under the category of a matana. Okay, good. And that would mean now that if, in fact, the Anshei Mishmar were to receive 10 animals, so they would not have to take off Maaser Behema, because you do not have to take off Maaser Behema from a matana.
Interesting. They don't inherit.
Right. Correct. It is a gift. Kuf Yud Amud Beis, we're still on Kuf Yud Amud Beis, and we're on the bottom. The Amud Amar Abaye. Okay, I'm sorry, let me do the heading. Nasan is Kesav Lanche Mishmar. So you recall in the Mishnah goes over the following halacha by Gezel Hager, and that is that you give the money to the Anshei Mishmar. Now remember, there are three things that you're going to be doing. Keren, Chomesh, and Asham. In that order. That will become clarified as we continue in today's daf. So, in this Mishnah, so what did we learn together? That if, let's say, he gave the Kesef, the Gazlan, and after the Gazlan gave the Kesef, what happened? He died. Okay? Now, what's the question? Question is that the Kohanim now are going to be returning the money or not returning the money? The Mishnah was super clear about this. And that is, the Kohanim do not return the money. Once the money is given over to the Kohanim, even though he didn't finish, he didn't bring the Karban Asham, nevertheless, the Kohanim keep the money. And now the Gemara sits on this point, and the Gemara says, we've hit a novel idea. Amar Rabbi Shmamina Kesef, Mechaper Mechzam. Kesef is a kapara. I told you the Gemara is going to talk like this. Here's the Gemara talking like this. Kesef is a kapara. It's part of the atonement process in which money is going to be given to the Kohanim. Dila Mechaper, Havamina Mahadol Yoshe, my time, Adat Adachilo Yavle. Now, if it doesn't provide any kind of kapara, so what should happen is that the money should be returned. Why? Because in transactions there are what we're going to call built-in conditions. Okay, built-in conditions. Okay, this happens to be, this is a really exciting Gemara, it's a really interesting Gemara regarding whether or not when going into any kind of transaction. So are there certain basic understandings and basic assumptions that are made in which, if those conditions are not met, even though they weren't articulated, nevertheless, it's understood. It's understood. And if they're not met, well, then we're just going to void the transaction. So the Gemara says over here, this would have been an example. It would have been an example because what do? So in other words, he gave money to the Kohanim, and now he died. So now, if no kapara was provided by the giving of the money to the Kohanim, and he died, wouldn't it stand to reason now that the money should be refunded? So Abaye says it must be that the giving of money by itself already is providing kapara. Now it's interesting, by the way, mechza kapara. It provides half the kapara. Okay, that quantity of half, right? I'm sure there's something behind that. I don't know how to express it, but it doesn't matter. It matters. But I'm saying for the larger point, it doesn't matter. The point is that there is kapara being achieved. So therefore, there was the condition was met. In other words, he gave the money, so he got kapara. You did get kapara. Now, so the Gemara says, "Ela miata chato shemesu ba'ala tepuk lechulin da'i da'i tadach lo afresham." So the Gemara says, "Fine." So if this is true, that there should be a refund based on assumptions not met. So let me ask you the following question, and that is that when I have a carbon chatos where the owner dies. So what should the carbon chatos do? It should just simply be yotzei lechulin. It should become mundane. Leave its sanctity immediately. What an interesting proposal of the Gemara over here. Meaning, what did you do? You set aside the carbon chatos because you needed to, for whatever reason. And after setting aside the carbon chatos, so the person dies, the owner dies. So we all know, because we go over this time and again throughout Shas, so that animal is going to be disposed of. Okay, I know I said it really nicely. But if you've been with us long enough, you know. In other words, this is a chatos amesa. Okay, good. There are five of them in total. This is one of them. So now, wait one second. Why did I set it aside so it would serve as a kapara? Now the owner died, and so therefore his kapara is already achieved through his death. Maybe now let's make the argument that the chatos now should just simply get refunded. Now the refunding over here means what? Meaning the kedusha should just go away. How does kedusha just go away? Because maybe there was a built-in condition when you were makdishit at the point of origination, at the point of hektish, I'm only being makdishit so it could serve as a kapara. But now that the person died and the kapara is no longer needed, so maybe we'll go back to that point in time and remove the kedusha. What an interesting proposal of the Gemara. The Gemara immediately rejects this idea. So amichata shemesu ba'alayuch so gemirala delamisa azla. So the Gemara says, yeah, but this is halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. So in other words, okay, and this part's a little bit tricky, but I think I'm saying it correctly. Okay, I hope. So, and that is that this is unprecedented. Meaning, you may be making an excellent point, but halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim tells us that this is a unique circumstance. You could maybe have made the argument, but not here. Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. So Elamiata Asham Shemesu Ba'alav Lepuk Lechulin Da'idet Da'ach Lo Afresha. The Gemara asks the exact same question by a carbon asham, where the owner dies, and with the carbon asham, what do? So we convert it over to an ola. Okay, it's a little bit more involved than that. But what doesn't happen is that the kedusha just doesn't go away. And why don't we say that there's a built-in condition? So the Gemara says, okay, and once again, halach l'moshe misinai. Okay. Halach l'moshe misinai. So in other words, again, the point may be an excellent point, but over here, you can't ask from chatas, you can't ask from asham, because they are halach l'moshe misinai. Ela miyata yavam shenafla lifnei mukashchin, so tepuk b'lo chalitza da'idai da'achilo kitcha atzma. Wow. Gemara now really tests this idea of built-in conditions in certain transactions. Marriage. Okay, we don't like to look at marriage transactionally, but there is a kinyan. In other words, that's how marriage starts. Marriage starts off with kedushin. Kedushin is a kinyan. Okay, we spent a masechta talking about this idea. Good. So maybe built into the marriage are certain underlining assumptions. Okay, in other words, your husband's brother, mukashchin, to say the least, unattractive. Okay, physically and other ways as well. But mukashchin really is focusing on the physical unattractiveness. Oh. So what the Gemara is proposing, it's an unbelievable proposal of the Gemara, is that, well, in other words, you're married to your husband, you're happy with him, he's great. But then he dies. And now, what you're left with is the brother. Now, of course, there's a mitzvah of Yibum. You have absolutely zero interest in him whatsoever. He's a mukashchin. Okay. What the Gemara is proposing, and by the way, the Gemara Yevamos, remember we did it together. The Gemara Yevamos is going to inform us that what Beis Din should do is Beis Din should counsel. In other words, she doesn't want to go into this marriage. So, in other words, what Beis Din should do is counsel, and what's appropriate is that chalitza, not yibum. Okay, good, fine. But our Gemara over here now is proposing, hey, why don't we do the following? Why don't we say, adaita dahachi, that in other words, with this understanding that she now is at least potentially marrying a mukashchin, she never signed on to that. And as a result of that, we're going to go all the way back to her original marriage and cancel the original marriage.
Retro.
It's an unbelievable proposal of the Gemara. In fact, it's so unbelievable, right? Okay, we're going back to the Kiddushin. We're going back to the Kiddushin, all the way back. It's such an unbelievable proposal that some Rishonim suggest that even as the Gemara was proposing this, it only goes back to the point of, it only is from Erisin, not from Nisuin. Okay, it's really an unbelievable proposal. So the Gemara immediately rejects it, but I say immediately rejects it. It's amazing the Gemara even suggested it. So Anan, I'm sorry, Hasam Anan Sahadi, so as we turn now to the top of Kufir Aleph, the Meinach Nichale Becholduhu, Kirish Lakish, Amir Shlakish Tavla, Meitav Tandu, Mela Mesav Armelo. So the Gemara says, yeah, but we know that there are certain assumptions that we make in life. This is what's called an Umdana. The Gemara over here calls it Anan Sahadi. Anan Sahadi, there are certain things that are just what I guess we can call self-evident. Not the Constitution. What did Jefferson write? The Declaration. Thank you. So he talked about these truths being self-evident. Okay, good. Quoting Jefferson. So these are self-evident. And part of the self-evidence of a woman is a woman wants to be married, right? The Gemara, we hear this again and again throughout Seder Nashim, right? And Reish Lakish's line of Tav Lamesav Tandume Lamesav Armelo. A woman wants companionship. Okay? It's the nature of a woman. And so understood that, in other words, this husband she's very happy with. Oh, his brother? Okay, no, but in other words, but right now I want to need companionship. And with the understanding that, look, in other words, there's a chance. She'll take the chance. In other words, her interest in being married and having companionship is so strong, she'll take the chance. Okay, so in other words, what the Gemara is addressing is, it's not a precondition that is built into the marriage. She's accepting the marriage with all of its risks. Okay. Being that we're doing so well today, I don't want to. I'm not going to get distracted, but I'll just mention this idea of preconditions going into any transaction. You want more on this topic? It's really such an interesting topic. The Gemara has yet to find an application for it, but if you want more on this topic, see the bottom toasters on Kufiyat Amid Beis, who discusses this in more detail about whether or not you can ever really make this claim of there are certain preconditions set into every transaction, into some transactions. Anyway, we're going to move on, but it really is an interesting topic. Nasan as kesef lo yoho yariv. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. What do you need to remember over here? So you're giving the money to the Anshei Mishmar. Also, the carbon is going to be given to the Anshei Mishmar as well. Remember, the Kohanim with the carbon, they're going to do what they're supposed to do with the carbon. They're going to offer the carbon and they're going to eat the meat. Okay. In other words, it's an asham. So the asham is eaten in the Azara by the Zichei Kohuna. Okay. But regardless, they're giving money and they're giving also the asham. Now, you'll probably notice, by the way, I'm not spending a lot of time with the Chomish. You have to give the Chomish as well. But the Chomish is not Ma'akev. We're going to make that point at the end of the Perek. That's coming up a couple minutes from now. But anyway, but Keren, Asham are given to the Kohanim. The other thing you have to remember, Yoho Yariv, Mishmar number one. Yedaya, Mishmar number two. Okay? In other words, week one, week two. What are the other 22 Mishmaros? Yeah. Okay. It's not, for today, we don't have to know. Okay. So, Nelson is the case of Yoho Yariv. So money was given to Yariv, Asham to Yedaya. Okay, now, if you did it correctly and successfully, you'd be giving both the money and the asham to the same Mishmar. But the Mishnah obviously is trying to teach us Chidushim, and what happens now if the money is given to Yoho Yariv and the asham is given to Yedaya? So, Yotze, in other words, you get a check. You did it fine. You broke it up into 2 weeks, but you did it sequentially correctly. Great. Now, if, let's say, you give the asham to Yoho Yariv and the kesef you gave to Yedaya, so what did the Mishnah tell us? So the Mishnah told us that as long as the Asham is around, while Yedaya now is slided into the second week, Yoho Yariv didn't bring the carbon Asham, and they passed it over to Yedaya, so then great, said the Mishnah. However, so if let's say that didn't happen, then the Asham was offered by Yoho Yariv, and you only gave the money to Yedaya in week number two, so now you got to bring a new carbon Asham. Why? Because the sequence is critical. It's got to be Kesef, then Asham. Okay, good. That's what we saw in our Mishnah. And now the Gemara comments. Tanu Rabbanan. Nasan Asham Yoho Yariv. V'kesef liyedaya. Yachzer kesef etzal Asham. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Okay. So over here now in the Braisa, unlike our Mishnah is dealing with the same exact scenario, but our Mishnah is talking about a case where Yoho Yariv offered the carbon Asham. And then the next week Yedaya got the money. Yedaya now also needs to get a carbon as well. Okay, good. That's what we learned in our Mishnah. In the Braisa over here, Yoho Yariv got the Asham, Yedaya was given the money. So, what do you do? So, over here, Rabbi Yehuda has the following comment, and that is Yachzer Kesef Eitzel Asham. Kesef should go to the Asham. Money should go to the Asham. Now, obviously, it's complicated and confusing because they're separated by different weeks. So, what does that mean? You go in a time machine? Right? I say ridiculously. So what exactly does Rav Yehuda mean? That the kesef should go to the asham. Okay, so hold that thought because right now, it's really confusing. And the chachamim omrim yachzer asham itzal kesef. And the chachamim say, no, asham goes to the kesef. Okay. A little bit less confusing because right now, who's got the kesef? Yedaya. And who was given the asham? Yoho Yariv. Again, Yoho Yariv number one, Yedaya number two. Okay, so Hey Chidami. So the Gemara now basically says, good, I got this machlokus in this braisa. I don't know what's going on. Okay. Ilay madiyav le, asham le yarv bishmato diyar yariv, and kesav le yadayi bishmato diyadaya, zezach bishlo, zezach bishlo. So you gave Yoho Yariv the asham, and then week number two, you gave Yadayi the money. The Gemara says, I don't understand what you're talking about. Meaning, and once you go to the other, I presume that Yoho Yariv offered the carbon asham. Maybe shouldn't have. Maybe they should have been criticized for. Doesn't matter. Yo, Yariv was given the carbon asham, and Yedaya was given the money. So then, what are we litigating over here? Well, make sure they give the asham over to the Yariv should give the asham over to Yedaya. Yo, Yariv was given the asham. They offer the asham. What's done is done. Meaning, What is there to discuss? So Amar Rava Hacha ben Ma'iskin, and so Rava says, you're right. All right, that's not what we're discussing. What we're discussing is the following. Yaiv Hashem le'yo yariv mishmar so di'al yariv. The kesel le'yidai mishmar so di'al yariv. Okay. The case under review is the following. You gave Yal Yariv the Asham. Now Yedaya, you prepaid them 1 week early. Why? I don't know what the motivation is. Whatever. If I was creative, I'd come up with one. I'm not interested right now in creativity. You gave Yedaya a week early the money. So now it's great. Meaning the question now becomes great. Who's holding the main the main item? Meaning, because Yal Yariv now is going to turn to Yedaya and say, okay, give us some money. Meaning, we have the Karban Hashem, right? They gave you the money. He gave you the money. I don't know why. It doesn't matter. We're holding the Karban Hashem. Hey, you give us some money. And it's our week. And Yedaya could say to Yal Yariv, alternatively, Yedaya could say to Yal Yariv, wait 1 second. I know we were prepaid, but we have the money. We're holding the main. You give us the Hashem. Yeah. And next week we'll offer the Karban Hashem. Perfect. Now we're cooking. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Kevin Delav Mishmar, Diyadaya, Hele Yadaya, Kantina Lay. So he'll cook after Kesav Eitzel Hashem. So Rabbi Yehuda will tell you the following. It's not Yadaya's turn. Yadaya was out of turn. It's not their week. So Rabbi Yehuda's position is a penalty to Yadaya for having accepted the money in a week that's not theirs. And therefore the money should go to Yal Yariv. And Rabbanan Savre, Shalom Kedinu Avod, B'nei Yal Yariv, Dekibu Asher Mekami HaKesef, Hilkach Lididu Kansin Elov Yachzer Asher Meitzel Kesef. And the Chachamim will tell you, actually, we find more fault with Yal Yariv. Because what did Yal Yariv do? They accepted the carbon before the money. And we know sequence is critical. We saw that already in the Mishnah. And so therefore, by Yal Yariv accepting the carbon Asher before accepting the money, you're in the wrong. You, Yal Yariv, in the wrong. In so much so, a penalty to Yal Yariv, and therefore the Karban Hashem now is going to be forfeited to Yedaya. Good, beautiful. That is Rava now basically painting a picture of now we much better understand the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Tanya, Amar Rebbe Ladiv Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so Rebbe now is giving analysis according to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Don't get confused. Rebbe over here is Rebbe Yehuda Nasi. Rebbe Yehuda is Rebbe Yehuda Bar Eli. Okay, two different Rebbe Yehudas. Just happened to share the same name. Rebbe Yehuda was a late Tana, so it could be that they were in conversation with one another. They dialogued, could be, but regardless, this is Rebbe's analysis of Rebbe Yehuda. So now, again, according to Rebbe Yehuda, what should happen? I'm asking myself. I just have to reload. We're Konis Yedaya, right? And the money now is going to go from Yedaya back to Yal Yariv. Okay, good. So Amar Rebbe LeDiv Rebbe Yehuda Im Kidmo Bnei Yal Yariv VeKrivus Hashem Yachzev Yavi Hashem Acher VeYakrivu Bnei Yedaya VeZachol Alal BeMashav Yadan. Okay. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, so what if Yal Yariv given the Asham? Now, again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the money should go to Yal Yariv. But let's say Yal Yariv offered the carbon first, and again, they shouldn't have done that, but they did. So now, what Rebbe is saying within the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda is okay. So if that's in fact the case, so right, Yachzer Asham Acher VeYakrivu Bnei Yedaya. Now that's all that left is the money by itself. So Yedaya now is going to be able to keep the money, and now a new Karban Asham is going to be have to given over to Yedaya. The Karban Asham that was offered by Yal Yariv is enjoyed by the Mishmar of Yal Yariv. Remember, Karban Asham, now there's plenty of meat to be eaten by the Zichrei Kahuna. So Zach Mashbi Yadan. Okay, good. So Amr Lemaichazei Asham Pasuhu. So the Gemara now asks a fantastic question. Wait 1 second. A Karban Asham is good, but only if it's good. Right. Thank you. Meaning the Karban Asham can be eaten by the Kohanim if it's a kosher Karban Asham. Over here, this Karban Asham under review was offered prematurely. It was offered before the money was given. Such a carbon asham is not a good carbon asham. Therefore, cannot be eaten by the Kohanim. We have what's called a problem. And in the Brisa we just learned together, Rebbe said, if Yal Yariv offered the carbon asham prematurely, Zachum Asham B'Yadan, which presumably means enjoy the meat. Enjoy the barbecue. What are you talking about? You can't eat the meat. So Rava says, you're right. Le'oro, meaning they can't eat the meat. The meat is puzzle. The carbon's puzzle. The meat's puzzle. But they can still walk away with the hide of the animal. Even though it's a puzzle carbon, hide could still be taken home. Tanya Amar Rebbe L'Div Rebbe Yehuda Im Kiyem Asham Yachzir Asham Eitzel Kesev. Even within the sheet of Rebbe Yehuda. Now Rebbe Yehuda says that the money should go back to Yehoyariv. But let's say Yehoyariv was delinquent. Well, first of all, they already one strike against Yehoyariv for having accepted the carbon asham early. Fine. But on top of that, also, they just were delinquent. And they didn't bring the carbon asham. So even Rebbe Yehuda will agree now that the asham is still around, while Yedaya takes over in week number 2, give it to Yedaya. So Yachzir asham eitzel carbon. And the Gemara says that we're going to assume over here that there was a mechila. In other words, there was a forfeiture. In other words, once Yal Yariv didn't bring the carbon in their week or didn't demand the money in their week, again, they can't bring the carbon before the money, but because they didn't demand the money in their week, so basically they're forfeiting over the carbon over to Yedaya. Tanya Idach, one more brace on this point. I know a lot to discuss regarding Yahu Yariv, Yedaya. I know. One more. So Amar Rebbe L'Div Rebbe Yehuda, Im Kiyem Asham, Yachzer Kesev Eitzel Asham. So, if the Asham is around, so now, the money that was given to Yedaya should go to the Asham, which is in Yahu Yariv. So, Pshita, Hachi Islay. So the Gemara says, that's exactly what Rebbe Yehuda said. Meaning, Rebbe's giving penetrating analysis on Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe's just repeating what Rebbe Yehuda just said. So hachi yisle, hachi b'maiskin kagon denafik mishmartam dahani dahani. So the Gemara says, well, we're talking about a scenario where it was a double delinquency. In other words, what happens, Yehoyariv didn't bring the carbon, and neither did Yedaya. V'lo tavu. So now there was, but there wasn't the demand. In other words, Yehoyariv never said to Bnei Yedaya, hey, give us some money. But at the same time, Yehoyariv didn't offer the carbon asham, neither did Yedaya. So kamash malan, arminin kevin delotave, lahajabaresha. So over here, since Yehoyariv was given the asham, so presumably they were also entitled to the money. The money was given to Yedaya, and Yehoyariv didn't demand it. So again, if Yedaya is weak, they now turn to Yal Yariv and say, you don't offer the carbon, give us the Asham. Rabbi Yehuda would say, good, that's what you do. But, if now both of them were delinquent and not offering the carbon Asham, so now we'll just set it back to where it was originally. Where was it originally according to Rabbi Yehuda? And that is that the money should go to Yal Yariv. Okay. My head's spinning a little bit also from the back and forth in terms of, you know, which one's the cart and which one's the horse in terms of the asham versus the money. Good. We continue. We're finishing up now the ninth parak of the Masechta. Mevik zela achala evi ashamo minahani mili. Okay, we're just now going to cite a drasha in terms of this idea that first money and then carbon asham. Amrava amakra asham amushav asham lakoyim levad elakipur mashu yichaper bo. So here we are in Parshas Naso and the Pasuk. Now the Pasuk reads, Milvad El HaKippurim. Okay. What the Gemara right now thinks is that Milvad El HaKippurim means, first give the money, and then follow it up with the aisle, otherwise known as the Karban Asham. That's what we're thinking right now. So, Amar, Umei Rabban L'Rava El HaMi'ata, Milvad El HaSaboker, Achinami Mechal Demusafim Bereisha. Now the Gemara says that we know that that's patently wrong. It's wrong. Because consider, when offering karbanos daily, so that you have the first, the Tam Shel Shacharis, and then whatever other karbanos come in the course of the day, and then the end of the day is going to be the Tam Shel Bein Arbaim. The Tam Shel Shacharis and Tam Shel Bein Arbaim are basically the bookends of karbanos. Anything else brought that day, both obligatory and voluntary, are going to become between those two, sandwiched between the Tamei Shel Shachar and the Tamei Shel Bein Arbayim. In fact, it says, Milvad Olas HaBoker. Now, Milvad Olas HaBoker. You have that same word, Milvad. Do you think for a moment that Milvad over there means that you first bring the Musaf and then you bring the Tamei Shel Shachar? But that's patently wrong. It's just the opposite. So, Vehatanya. Minayin shelo yedavar kodem l'tamei shel shachar tamei lomar ve'arechala ha'ola v'amarava ha'ola ola rishona. The carbon tamid is the ola rishona. It is the first one. It has to be the first one. So milvad ola satamid does not mean that the ola tamid comes second. In fact, just the opposite. It comes first. So if your drasha is hinging on the word milvad, you can't be right. So amarle ana me'asher chaper bo nafkale v'adayin lo kiper. Okay. So the Gemara says, correct, good, excellent point. Me'asher yechaper bo is really what we're focusing on. So he will, the grammar over here is future. He will get a kapara from the Karban Hashem, which means the first things first, you have to pay the money, and then afterwards you bring the Karban Hashem. Okay. Nasan lo esa karen tana rabbanan, maybe minayin shi maybe milaso, v'lo evi hashama osari, before we start with the braisa. Mi'ila. Okay. Crash course. Okay. You take something that belongs to Hekdesh, you misappropriate, you use it for your own benefit, your own purposes. So you violate the Isser in the Torah called Mi'ila. If you do so bishogeg, having forgotten that this belonged to Hekdesh, and you misused and you misappropriated. So now what do you have to do? Very similar. Karen, Chomesh, and a Karban Hashem. Very similar to the Hashem Gzela. Right? Almost identical. Okay, good. Now we're learning a brisa regarding Mi'ila. Why would we do that? Because of the comparison that we're going to make to the Gzela. Tanu Rabbanan minayin shi mehevi Mi'ila so v'lo evi Hashem o Hashem v'lo evi Mi'ila so shelo yatsa tamalamer v'lo Hashem nisach lo. To get slicha and kapar for the Mi'ila, for the violation of Mi'ila, you need Karen and you need the Karban. You need both. Minayin shi mehevi Hashem o Hashem lo evi Mi'ila so shelo yatsa tamalamer v'lo Hashem b'kvar. Good. And also sequence is critical. First money, then Karban Hashem. Yachol kishem sh'ayel v'ashem ma'akvim kacha chomesh ma'akev tamalomer. Be'al Hashem nesach lo ayel v'ashem be'ektesh v'in chomesh ma'akev. So what is critical and essential towards kapara? The principle, the Karban Hashem, the chomesh which you owe. It is an absolute obligation, but it is not critical to kapara. If I don't bring the Karban, if I don't bring the chomesh, you still get a kapara. Now, these two halachas are talking to each other. There is a communication, open communication between these two halachas. So hektish mehejot, ma'asham dahasam karen, af asham dahacha karen. Remember yesterday's daf? In the pasuk regarding asham gzela, the word asham used over there was actually a reference to the principle. Go back to yesterday's daf, the Gemara made that point three times consecutively. Good. See above. So now that we know that by Asham Gzela, the word Asham there used is a reference to the Keren. So now when we look at the Asham Mi'ila, the word Asham is a reference to Keren. Good. V'hejo me'hektesh ma'hektesh ein chomesh ma'akev av'hejo nami ein chomesh ma'akev. Now by the halachas of Mi'ila, we know that the chomesh is not ma'akev. We just went through the drashas. And so now that will inform us regarding Asham Gzela. The chomish is not going to be ma'akev. Good. Hajan alecha goes al eitzim. Adkan. That takes us to the end of the ninth parak of the Masechta. Yeah. Sorry, just give myself an opportunity to breathe. We are starting now the final parak of the Masechta. Hagozel umachel. Okay, in the yeshivas they call this Hagozel basra. Right? Second parak in Gzela. Right, the ninth parak is called Hagozel Kama, and the second one and the tenth parak is called Hagozel Basra. It's just a way of identifying which parak we're talking about. Both open up with the word Hagozel. So just to make sure that we all know, we are learning right now Hagozel Basra, second part of Gzela. Mishnah begins. Hagozel Machos Banav Vihiniach Lifnehem. There really are two separate cases here in the Mishnah. You steal, let's say you steal a food. Okay? It'll make all this flow a lot easier. And case number one, you feed it to your children. Okay, so right. I know we could dramatize, but let's not. We're right now. We're just learning the halacha and the ramifications. So in other words, so the gazim stole, and now it was a food, and he fed it to his children, meaning the gzela is no longer here. Alternatively, he niach lefnehem. Alternatively, dad died, and he left it for his children. Now, in this alternative case over here, it doesn't have to be food. In other words, it could be anything. It could be a durable good. The point over here is that the father's no longer alive. So in either of these circumstances, piturim melashalim, the children don't have to pay. Now, in case number one over here, if the father's still alive, obviously there is a absolute requirement, obligation for the father to pay back. The Mishnah's probable point over here is that the father fed the children, and then subsequently the father died. So, and the point of the Mishnah is that even though the children benefited from it, but nevertheless, they're not the gazlan, and they don't inherit the obligation to return. Okay. They don't have an obligation to return it. Okay. Obviously, that's going to be the main focus of the beginning, of the opening sugya of our parak. We're going to clarify. Excellent question. And then the Mishnah puts in the following clause, and that is, if it's davar sheyesh bo achrayos, I will leave that undefined momentarily. If it is davar sheyesh bo achrayos, so then the children do have an obligation to pay. Okay. Hopefully in your head right now.
Sorry,
yeah. Correct. Hopefully, perfect. Hopefully in your head right now, your wheels are turning and you're wondering, what is the Mishnah making reference to? Please hold, because it happens to be, again, I looked ahead. I know that the Gemara is going to be deliberating and debating what exactly the Mishnah meant by that, so we're going to wait just a moment. Amar of Chista. Okay. We open up now the 10th parak. 10th parak also, by the way, again, I'm not really one to speak to in terms of what's popular in yeshivas and what's not. I haven't been yeshiva in a couple of years, but I think the 10th parak is a popular parak in the yeshiva, and it happens to be that the opening discussion over here of this 10th parak, it's a fascinating one. I mean, every daf is good. Today's daf, a lot of really interesting topics. Amar of Chista. Gazol velonis yashu abalim. Uva achir v'achlo mimenu. Rasimizegove, maitaima, kol kamat velonis yashu abalim, v'rshusa demarikai. Okay. Rav Chista has the following halacha, which is, somebody stole from me. I'm not give up hope. I was not miyayish. I want my item back. Okay, good. And now, after someone stole it from me, another person, a third party, went over to the gazlan and took it from the gazlan, ate it from the gazlan. Okay. So now, what can I do? I can go after either party for compensation for reimbursement of the item. I can go after the gazlan, or if I want, I can go after the third party. Okay. There is a really, really interesting discussion in terms of what to label that third party. Is he a gazlan? Right, chapter 2, gazlan, or is he more like a mazik? Either way, he's going to owe me. Okay, that's an achronish discussion, which we're not going to entertain right now, but the idea of Rav Chista, however, is that now I have two addresses in which I can turn to for compensation. I can either go after the gazlan, or I can go after the a third party who ate it.
Are we assuming the first gazlan was Konadite?
In other words, there was no kinyan. There was no yeish. Rav Chista says that clearly. In fact, you'll see, by the way, Rav Chista will use this idea in order to defend himself. Okay, good. So this is the idea of Rav Chista that you can go after both. And no, by the way. Oh, okay. I got the same alert. You can't go after both of them. Meaning, you can't collect from one and then collect from the second. You can't get a double compensation. The only point of Rav Chista is that both of them are eligible to be defendants in the case. Either one of them are eligible to be defendants. And by the way, their defense is going to be very weak because they're both guilty. Okay.
Did number two know that he was being stolen?
It's a fair question. Even if he didn't, meaning the Rav Chista's point is, Birshusei demare kai, meaning it's my item that he ate, whether he knows or doesn't know it. Meaning when it comes to nezek, even if you were unintentional, you still have to compensate. Okay, Tanan. Hagozo machas banavin echlefneim peturim elishalem tiyufta derav chista And so number one, we're just gonna slide down our Mishnah, and our Mishnah would seem to be suggesting that Rav Chisda is patently wrong. Because what happened in our Mishnah? Happened in the Mishnah, the father stole and the children ate. And what did the Mishnah say? The children don't have to pay. No. Rav Chisda, you said that the third party consumer has to pay. What do you do about that? Okay, so I'm lecha Rav Chisda, kitanya hi lacha yesh. Okay. So Rav Chisda will tell you that as far as our Mishnah is concerned, our Mishnah is talking about where yesh has already occurred. Since yesh has occurred, so now I have yesh, and this part gets tricky, and I have, call it a shina rishus. That part's a little bit tricky. But certainly, in the very least, I have yesh. So now there was a kinyan.
You need both.
That's why it gets tricky. Yeah, right. Lots and lots of discussion over here in terms of where Rav Chisda is holding on the yesh in the world of yesh. Yesh by itself is kona. Yesh by itself is not kona. You need yesh plus shinui. Okay. Right. But in the very least, according to Rav Chisda, our Mishnah is talking about where there is yesh, and Rav Chisda says, my halacha is talking about where there's no yesh. Okay. Imanich lifneihem, peter melashon. Okay, I see the time. We did great today. I wanted to catch up more, but you know what? We'll continue with this tomorrow. We did good. All right, let's quickly recap. Let's review. We spent a lot of time today, most of this morning, discussing Gezel HaGer. Gezel HaGer, when you steal from the Ger, so what you have to do now, in the event that he dies and you want to make good on Kapara, so you're going to go to the Mishmar and you're going to be giving Kesef, Keren, Chomesh, and Karban Asher. Good. And what we did today discussed in unbelievable detail regarding what's critical, what's essential, what is a sequencing, what has to be done first, what has to be done second. What if I divided the Keren and the Asham between two different Mishmaros? What then becomes the ramifications of that? So many, many details that we discussed. Our opening discussion today, I just want to highlight this as well in our review. In the opening of today, we entertained the question that if we have a transaction, but there's a built-in condition, a built-in assumption, and it wasn't met, can that undo the transaction? Meaning, what if the kesef does not provide kapara? And the person gave the kesef to the kohanim, and then he died, and he didn't bring the carbon ashram yet, and the kesef provided no kapara. Can the kesef now get refunded to the children? The Gemara entertained that idea. Well, the Gemara ended up not going anywhere with it, simply because the kesef is a kapara. That's what we learned in the beginning of today's daf. The kesef mamish is a kapara. So in other words, condition's been met. But in the event that the condition was not met, could you now go ahead and get a refund, and can we void the transaction? That was our opening discussion today. The Gemara entertained the idea. The Gemara really didn't give us any conclusions, but wow, what an interesting discussion. Good, and with that, we concluded with the ninth parak of the Masechta. And then we opened up the tenth parak of the Masechta. And what happens now if somebody stole and then he died? And the children either ate the food, which means that they benefited. The Mishnah says the children don't have to pay. Or let's say the children inherited the stolen item. The Mishnah said they don't have to pay as well, unless it's a davar sheyesh bo achrayus. Tomorrow we're going to clarify what that meant. And then our opening discussion in the 10th parak is Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said that if somebody stole and then a third party went and took it from the thief, so now what you can do is you can go after either one of them, the thief or the third party. You have a right to seek reimbursement from either one of those two. Good. That's the halacha of Rav Chisda. Why? Because even when the third party took it, he took it from you, meaning it was still yours because there was no yesh. The Gemara challenged Rav Chisda, the Gemara defended Rav Chisda.